what we're not, what we are. What we're not, what we are. The purpose of the message today is because Jesus is truth, we want to answer this question, how then shall we live? Because Jesus is truth, how then shall we live? And I'm picking that up from that phrase that we left off with last week in our sermon series, which Paul doesn't leave off with. I mean, I'm always encouraged and edified and blessed to think that when this letter first came out to the Ephesian churches, they just read the whole thing to the whole church. And here we are taking some months to go through it to make sure we get it correctly understood. It's important after close to 2,000 years of history and language to make sure we go back to the original meaning of the text and understand what it means and then bring that to us today. I say all that to say this. Paul did not skip a beat. From that phrase there in verse 21, just as truth is in Jesus, that, and then our text today, in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new life, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. And so his premise, his discussion, his whole line of argument is simply this. Jesus is the truth, so we should live like it because we're followers of Jesus. Right? I mean, is it that simple? Have a great day. God bless. We're done. And I'm glad you're laughing because you know I'm not done. Right? We're going to expose 22 through 24. We're going to do the text. Right? But it really is it, isn't it? And Paul's been talking, and we've been laboring through the text, and there's some really strong negative definition. I don't mean negative as in bad. I mean negative as in Paul saying, this is what you're not. And then there's positive definition. And so Paul is writing to these believers, and by application, God's Holy Spirit is speaking to all believers in all places, at all times. And he's saying, if you've come to Jesus Christ, who is the truth, then live in the truth. Live like it. Anybody in your Christian life ever have those questions and struggles for God? God, what should I do now? God, how should I live now? God, what's your will for my life in this circumstance? I know we all have those questions, right? What does God want from us? How does he want us to live? This is a fantastic message. But you realize it's all based in transformation. We can't just teach this as what we could call moral behavioralism. I've talked about that before. You know, like we should all straighten up our act and you know, be nicer, moral-looking people because we call ourselves Christians. No, this has to do with God himself transforming our mind, transforming our heart, giving us new birth. This has to do with, as Paul already said in Ephesians chapter 2, that we were dead in our transgressions and sins, but God made us alive together with Christ Jesus in the power of the resurrection. So if you and I have met Christ, we cannot come away from truly meeting Christ, hearing Christ, being converted in Christ. We cannot come away from meeting Christ and be the same old that we were before. We just can't. And so, and what I really like about the text is the you is plural, y'all. The you is plural. It's to the church. Now, you also can't have the church collective together without having individuals understand this. So as individuals, we have to understand what I'm not and what I am. But as a church together, as Paul writes again, this epistle, the book of Ephesians, is known as one of the greatest treatises in Scripture for the definition and identity of who the church is meant to be, Christ Jesus, the head of his church. So this is not just individual, it is individual, it starts there, but it is for all of us. We together as his body, what we're not, what we are. And it has everything to do with a beautiful picture that Paul's going to paint for us here in verses 22 through 24. Because Jesus is the truth, how do we live? And we're going to start answering some of those life questions. How do we live? All right? Well, we're going to look at these three elements today to answer that. Number one, lay aside the old. Number two is going to be renewed. Number three is going to be put on the new. So lay aside the old. Let's look again at Ephesians 4:22. How are we going to live now? Because Jesus is truth. We are in Jesus. He is in us. What should that mean for how I live? In Ephesians 4:22, that in reference to your former manner of life, what's the presumption? That a person who's in Christ has something that's what? Former. So Paul's talking to the believers, and he's reminding them about what they used to be like, and he has a comment about that. You lay aside the old self. Now, why should I do that? Why should I, if I come to Christ, why should I lay aside my old self? Billy Graham's crusades were well known worldwide. Most of them concluded with which hymn? The hymn called Just As I Am. Okay, so to come to Christ, you can come to Christ just as you are. Bring your sin, bring your life, bring your identity, bring your name, bring your history, bring your brokenness, bring your addiction. Come to Christ just as you are. But does God love you enough to leave you the way you are in a broken, fallen state? He's not going to leave you that way. God wants to give you life, forgiveness of your sin, the Holy Spirit to lead you into all of Christ's teachings. Not only the promise of eternal life, but life abundant in truth here and now. So Paul, he doesn't even explain it as much as I just tried to. He just has a pure and simple spiritual and biblical presumption that if you're in Christ and Jesus is the truth, then in regards to your former way you used to live, lay it aside. Stop it. Lay aside the old self, which is... Now, so why should I do that? Because it is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. So, to fill in the blank, lay aside what? What does he call it here? The old self. All right, how many people, when you're living your Christian life, how many people have a little bit of a gravitational pull back to your old way of life? Yeah. When we used to be stressed, when we weren't Christians, we would gravitate towards things to satisfy. Could be certain kinds of music, could be certain addictions of various and myriad forms of flesh-feeding, and worldly, self-consuming addiction. People can be addicted to, I'll say the word once and get by it fast so that moms and dads can explain it to your kids at home. People can be addicted to sex. People can be addicted to drugs. People can be addicted to alcohol. People can be addicted to mental sins by which they entertain the mind. And when they want to escape from the problems of the world, they just easily fall right into that, right? But because Jesus is truth, in regard to your old way of life, Paul says, put that away. Put that away. And I've just been describing some symptomatic things up here as an application of a pastor. It's not just symptomatic things. It's the whole thing, the whole reality of sin itself. Paul in Romans 6, 7, and 8 is going to talk about sin as a slave master over us that we must obey in our corrupt state. But if you have died to sin, then no longer let sin rule you. Christ is now your master. So put away the old life. Put away the old sin. Put away the old trappings of sin. Put to death the old man. Now, what's really fun about this, we're going to get into this a little deeper today. And Paul's going to carry this motif throughout the book, and he's going to do it in Colossians as well. What's fun about this is when he uses this language, put off and put on, or lay aside and put on, you see that in your scriptures, he's actually using the terminology of a change of clothes. Isn't that cool? And you're going to see that later on in the message. So I'm not going to go into it in depth now, so we're going to get to that in a third point. But it's this idea of If you know Christ and He's the truth, and you're going to live a life in Christ, here's answer number one to how to make your life decisions. I mean, this can be as practical as everyday life, right? Number one, don't gravitate back to the old way of life. Don't gravitate back to the old stuff. You're a new creation now. Ephesians 2:10, created in Christ Jesus for good works that we would walk in them. So you as an individual, and you all as the church, how should we live? Answer number one, not like we used to. Christians can sometimes be blamed for looking no different than the world. Christians should look different than the world. Christians should live different than the world. Okay? The phrase he uses here for the change of a garment, he also uses in Colossians 3:9 in an incidental way to refer to the life prior to becoming a believer. This is the unregenerate state that he's referring to. He uses it in Romans 6:6 where he writes, "We know that our old self was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin." In Ephesians 2:15, Paul insisted that in Christ, believers have become a new person. They have changed identities. So thus, they take off the old one. The power of the old self has been broken. Believers in Christ have been freed from sin's mastery so that they can now reject its control over their lives. In other words, they must work out in their experience what is really true about them. They're free from sin's domination. You know, there's something I wish, I've said this from time to time, there's something I wish we kind of still did as New Testament Christians that is in the Bible, and in particular, it is in the New Testament with Saul, Paul. It's also with the patriarchs, with Abram, who was given the name Abraham. Yeah, many times when people met God, they were so transformed that God gave them a new name. Your identity, B.C. and A.D., is so different that you're not the same person you were before. Have you met Christ? And I think it'd be so cool if we all just gave each other new names, you know? But because they glorify God. Because frankly, if I say it as a personal, selfish example, you do not know the college Corey. You don't know what I used to be like. And may that be the way that we could probably share with each other on a person-to-person basis in the church. I mean, if we really got to know each other's life and history, and we could literally look each other in the eye and say, "Wow, isn't this cool? Praise God, you have no idea who I used to be." Right? That's the way the transformed life should be. But Paul is even giving much of a command here that's a little different. It's not just sharing a testimony. He's saying, you can't go back. Lay that aside. Now, Christians, we need to hear this. We need to hear this because being a Christian is more than a one-time commitment of receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior. It begins there. But we need to hear this message of Paul, which he's using in the tense that he's using in the verbs throughout this section here. This is an ongoing thing we should live out consistently. Remember, he's writing to the Ephesians who are already saints. They're already believers. He already ministered to them. He spent 3 years teaching them. You know, does anybody get tired of your pastor saying, lay aside the old? What if I'm here 10 years from now, 20 years from now, and I'll stand up and preach this passage, maybe again sometime, and say, hey, brothers and sisters in Christ, lay aside the old. Are you supposed to get the idea that, yeah, we've heard that before, why are you telling us again? But that's not Paul's mentality. See, Paul's mentality is this concept of laying aside the old is an ongoing lifestyle. We need to hear this as Christians all the time. Because as Christians, we can, there's a name for it. We call it backsliding. There's a name for it. We go back into the way of the old life we used to live. Paul says, because truth is in Jesus. Because truth is in Jesus. Christian, not only did I call you out of the darkness once, but I call you out today. You get out of the darkness now. You get out of the darkness tomorrow. You change by the renewing of your mind. You submit all thoughts to Christ. You live in His light and His glory. Christians, today If you've gotten lazy in your spiritual life, repent now. Put away that old stuff. You don't need it. Do you hear that voice? See, the old life said, I need that. In Christ, you don't need that. So lay it aside. Put it away. Because Jesus is truth, how then shall we live? What we're not, what we are. First of all, lay aside the old. We're not the old anymore. We're a new creation in Christ. So secondly, be renewed. Ephesians 4:23. And this is really beautiful, actually. And the reason why I want to tip my hat to the whole process is because it is important to go through word for word, make sure we understand what Paul is saying here, and then at the same time, zoom out and look at his whole process of thought. 1, 2, 3. He's going to say, lay aside the old, be renewed, renewal. We're going to talk about renewal now. And then he's going to say, put on the new. Put on the new. Isn't that cool? So he's using language like in terms of changing of a garment. He says, take off your old sin and get rid of it. But then, what? That you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now remember, last week we used a phrase, I did, anyway, that God wants your mind. He's coming to it again here. Let's fill in the blank. Be renewed. First of all, be what? Renewed. Where? There's a location for where this happens. Where should the renewal happen? In what? The spirit of your mind. Now, the object of his teaching here is you and me as believers. So the spirit referenced here is not the spirit of God. This is you in your spirit of your mind. Me in the spirit of my mind. Just that particular use of the one word spirit there. Okay? We're to be renewed. Now, I want to do this. This is very important. So I want to remind us how we read Scripture here. English class 101. Subject, verb, object. In English, you can leave the subject off and have what's called an implied subject. Okay? So if I walk over to my son and I say, go get some Coke for us. Right, what subject is it? It's you, son, go get some Coke for us. Okay. So what's the subject with be renewed? You be renewed by who or what? Is being renewed something you can do? No, it's in the passive voice of the verb. You be renewed. It doesn't say you renew yourself. It doesn't say renew your mind. Not here. It says be renewed in the passive. So who's the main subject? You being you, the you is actually the object of the sentence. You and I are to be renewed. And it's in the passive verbal voice. So who's the renewer? It's God. In the scriptures, this happens quite often. And the way it's translated into our English language, we refer to this. We have a name for it. We call it the divine passive. It's the divine passive voice. It's passive because it's nothing we do. It's something we let happen to us. But who's the main actor? Who's the one who does this? Who does the action? God wants your mind. Okay? So, okay, remember, Christian? How do you live your everyday life? If Jesus is truth, how then shall we live? God wants your mind. If your mind's in the gutter, you're going to live like the gutter. If your mind's in God, you're going to live under God. So there has to be a renewal, an ongoing process of renewal in a relationship with God and His Spirit. Paul has a strong emphasis throughout the book of Ephesians of God's Spirit working in the person's life. There has to be a renewal of our minds. Oh, this worldly place that we live in, And I'm not talking Quad Cities. I'm not talking America. I'm talking this dark, fallen world that we live in has so much fodder for your mind. Very little of it is of God. So be renewed in your mind, in the spirit of your mind. When things happen in your daily life, what are you fixated on mentally? What are you fixated on as you think? What are you fixated on in your life? Problems. When terrible things happen to you, when the finances aren't enough, when some life circumstance happens, when you're trying to answer the question, what's God's will in this certain circumstance that's going on in my life, is your first thought to pray to God? Is your first thought to search the Scriptures? Is your first thought to glorify Christ in all things? Is your first thought, what can God use my life for in this circumstance? Be renewed in your mind. Take every thought captive to Christ. You're going to spend eternity, if you're a born-again believer in Jesus, you're going to spend an eternity with Him. Wouldn't it be awesome to meet Jesus and say, I took every thought captive for your glory, Lord. My life, like John the Baptist, was only for you and your glory. May I decrease and you increase. You see, a lot of psychological Christianity today is so man-centered that it almost leaves God out. That's not what Paul wants, what the Spirit wants, what God wants for His church. So, step one, lay aside the old, throw it away. Take it off, throw it away. Step two, seek that renewal of the mind. I'm going to do in the conclusion some steps to how to do that. And then step three, because Jesus is the truth, how then shall we live? Lay aside the old, be renewed, put on the new. I love this picture. Perfect picture. Jesus Himself clothes us with His righteousness. We call it imputed righteousness. It's not my own righteousness. Put away all that sin. Put away all that life that doesn't seek Christ. Be renewed in our minds and put on something. Replace the old identity with the new identity. Give yourself a new name if you want to. But it's all about Christ. Notice how Paul says it here in Ephesians 4:24. And put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. So this is Paul's theology. And remember, he did the first three chapters of Ephesians just to bring us to chapter 4. All this theology to then, how then shall we live? And he says, you are created in Christ Jesus. This is a new creation. Do you all see what God's doing in the church? Do you have this in your understanding, your heart, your mind, the view of the church? When Adam and Eve fell and the whole world fell into sin, it was corrupt and in darkness. In the church, Paul is saying by the Spirit that our minds are no longer to be in the darkness, but renewed and we're to live in the light. The church is supposed to be the recreation of humanity, the way we were meant to be before the fall. We're supposed to live in a new life, the way God teaches us to live. This is a reversal of the fall itself. And we come to the church, which is a group of baptized believers in Jesus Christ who have received Him as their Lord and Savior and have been transformed in salvation. And then we teach each other. And it's hard sometimes. Did you ever have to walk with someone through some addiction or some sin or some problem? It takes them years to let go of that old life, right? But we teach each other. Brother, sister, you were created for more than this. So be renewed in your mind. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Did I use it in a different order? Heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay? Love the Lord your God with your whole being and learn to live the way He created you to live with your sin forgiven. Wow. Put on the new. Let's fill in the blank, and then I'm going to do, this is really awesome, something I want to share with you. So put on what? Fill in the blank. The new self, it's like a robe that Jesus is going to put around you. This is Paul's imagery of changing of clothes, which is in the likeness of what? In the likeness of what? God. What is your model? What is your example? Who is your pastor asking you to follow? God. Who is Paul asking you to follow? God. What is your example, your model that you should emulate? God. In the likeness of God. This is the restoration. So how was the new self created? In what and what of what? Looking at the words of the text. In righteousness, holiness of the truth. Okay? And again, this is like divine passive. Who creates that in you and me? God does. God does. So who did that? God in Christ Jesus. And that's, I'm taking that phrase from Ephesians 2:10. For you were created in Christ Jesus. So the sinner that comes to Christ is transformed, their mind is renewed, and they're called to live a life now that's a new life. And you throw out the old and you put on the new. Happy New Year! You know, this is celebration. This is living in the freedom that you were given. This is, in Jesus Christ, the proclamation that sin no longer is master over you. That you are free. That Christ put to death, so that you could live the new life. Wow. Should we consider ourselves as Christians like people have one foot in the world and one foot in heaven? No! You really shouldn't. Because Paul says, put away it. Put away the world. Put away the old self. So when you look in the mirror, how do you see yourself? As in Christ and glorious victory over sin and forgiven by God's grace and living a life of victory over sin? How do you see yourself? How do you see Christ in your life? Now here's something really cool. I'm going to borrow a little bit from Klein Snodgrass. I like that guy's name. It's kind of cool. Okay? Here's something I want us to see. And because today's really wonderful. I'm going to wrap this all together. Easter's coming. Klein says, a comparison of several of Paul's texts demonstrates strongly the probability that what we're looking at now, 4:22 through 24, put off the old, be renewed in your mind, put on the new, is derived from a baptismal liturgy, or at least a Pauline baptismal theology. Baptismal, the word baptism. Listen to some texts here real quick. I'm just going to go through them fast. Colossians 3:9 through 11. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. Romans 6:3, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Down to Romans 6:6, knowing this, that the old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be done away with so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. That's in Paul's chapter of baptism in Romans 6. In Romans 13:14, Paul says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, Paul says, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Again, a divine passive. Galatians 3:26, and this is perhaps the one that might be, I don't want to put a superlative on it, but I was about to say the most powerful. But as a description, you also might be familiar with this. Galatians 3:26 or 28. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Paul's theology is this. You see, it's not just that you take the old man and throw him away. It's not just that. And it's not just that you become good people, moral behaviors. Just do all the right stuff and you'll be fine. It's not even that. Paul's theology is this. Die to yourself and put on Christ. Die to yourself and put on Christ. Celebrated the Lord's Supper this morning. Next month during Easter, we're going to have a Christian Seder Passover celebration. Also at Easter, the baptismal will be filled. Paul's theology is, and it is our theology as well according to Scripture, that when people receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they are baptized, and it shows that I no longer live, but it is Christ who lives in me. Where is Cory Gagneau? Long dead and gone. My wife just said yay. The Christian life is not a call to come and be ego exalted, to be more than you already are, and we're going to take you in and make you all the more better, a better version of you. The call of the Christian life is to come and die. Die to your sin. Die to yourself. Die to the world. But be renewed in your mind that eternal life in Christ is infinitely more valuable than anything this world has to offer. And you live with an eternal perspective of being a follower of the eternal God. What is your new life for? And is your old life crucified on the cross with Him? And when it rears its ugly head, put it off and keep putting Christ on. Isn't that powerful? In essence, the idea is that we revisit our baptism. Revisit what it meant. Even as Christians, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 40 years later, daily, routinely revisit what it means that I died in Christ and I'm raised to new life in Christ. I put off the old and I put on Christ. Live out your baptism. Powerful teaching. So as Christians today, because Jesus is truth, how then shall we live? Lay aside the old. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new. William Klein says, in combination then, Paul appeals for believers to take the necessary steps to become who they are in Christ. This language seems a little strange, he admits, but it's because Paul is doing it. See, Paul insists that the old self was taken off at conversion and yet is still very much on. Likewise, though, the new self was put on at conversion, but it must continually be put on in the Christian's ways of life. So put another way, what was taken off does not stay off. Elsewhere, Paul speaks of dying daily. 1 Corinthians 15:31, I affirm, brethren, by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. 2 Corinthians 4:10, always caring about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Romans 6:2, when asked if shall we sin all the more so that God's grace may increase, Paul answers, may it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? And then Galatians 2:19 and 20. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. What was once put on needs to be put on again and again and again. Paul lives with this paradoxical description of Christian reality. He does not envision actual entities being put off or on, but he uses these metaphorical language concepts of clothing to highlight the believer's new status and their abilities in Christ to live for Christ. One that enables them through the power of the Spirit to live lives that please God. The gospel shouts that believers are no longer prisoners to what they once were. It also reminds them that they must engage the process of becoming renewed in Christ. In theological terms, sanctification is not automatic, but requires your willful participation. So I said we'd come to this opportunity, this idea. Back to Snodgrass, he has three suggestions for how to renew the spirit of our minds so that we continue to put off the old and continue to put on Christ. His three suggestions are this. One, learn to think. Learn to think, he says. Ephesians emphasizes the role of the Holy Spirit in this process. So there's no thought that exists of a deprived mind repairing itself. Our primary ethicists today are popular singers, actors, and talk show hosts. And they have all led us to ruin. We must take time to think in communion with God, to reflect and meditate. Without attention to your mind, your inner life, your soul, your heart, no restructuring will occur. Do you read your Bible? Do you have convictions in your heart and life about how to draw near to God? Do you have a filter, a discernment filter for your eyes and for your ears, and things the world wants to teach you and project at you? And do you discern it through the truth of Almighty God? Learn to think. Secondly, he says, go to school. I thought this was an interesting way to put it. The hunger for knowledge of Christ should be ever present and ever renewing, he says. What opportunities do you have as a Christian? And I don't think this means formal education per se. Okay? He simply means put yourself in a place of being a student. That's an actual definition of the word disciple. Is a student or a learner, a follower? So if we're going to put off the old and put on the new and be renewed in the spirit of our mind, take an active role in your own discipleship. The journey course is continuing here at First Baptist Church. The journey is a discipleship process. It's not just a class. It's not just a program. Go to it. Work on it. Read the scriptures. Go to Sunday school. We invite everyone to Sunday school. Are there any other teaching times where you can find yourself in a company of believers and godly teachers who are faithful to the Word of God, and you can, as Klein Snodgrass says, go to school? And adults need this as much as kids do. Christian families today are so sweetly well-meaning. Sometimes they send their kids, but they don't come as adults, if they send their kids at all. But we should be a people whose minds are actively seeking the truth of God's Word. So put yourself in a position where you take the reins of your own discipleship. What does it mean to follow Christ, to put off the old and to put on the new and be renewed in the spirit of my mind? You know, a one-time decision in a church at an altar may or may not do it for you for the rest of your life. Will you come to Christ continually? and keep putting Christ on. And then he finally says, live your baptism. Snodgrass says, baptism is to be lived, or as Martin Luther urged, we daily return to our baptism. If clothes make the person, we attempt to keep the uniform of the old in the closet for quick changes. That will not work, he says. We cannot keep the old being partially alive. Christ is the uniform of our new being. He will not hang in the closet waiting for us to change around. It's never fitting for Christians to be, quote, out of uniform. And then Snodgrass quotes Paul Minier, who suggests that instead of looking for evidences of rebirth, we should ask how many times a person has died. Rebirth without dying is Christian nonsense. And so is new creation without crucifixion. Death, dying with Christ and to self, is necessary for Christian living. In putting on the new life, we participate in Christ's resurrection. Life is recreated in line with God's original intention. Isn't that powerful? So here's some simple steps. Learn to think, go to school, live your baptism. Isn't that awesome? Today we've covered, and we'll continue to cover this next month, the two ordinances of the New Testament Christian Church. We celebrated as one the Lord's Supper this morning together, and we've talked about living out our baptism. It's something we do as individuals, and it's something we must do as a corporate body. What do you think? Next time you're tempted to sin like the old self, tear that coat off and throw it in the corner, throw it away, and put on Christ. What do you think? What do you think? Is there anything in our lives more important than Christ? Is there anything in our lives more important than following Christ? We need renewal in the spirit of our mind. Seek the Word of God. Do you even have a simple goal? Have you ever read the entire New Testament? If not, just do it. In the next 6 months. Give yourself a goal. In the next 6 months, I'm going to read the New Testament. If you ever read the entire Bible, if you haven't read the whole Bible, come to the Bible every day, set a goal, read the whole Bible in the next year, and pray every day, Lord, renew my mind that I might understand you and live for you. Is there anything in your life that you need to repent from? You've been dabbling far too long. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, my church teaches once saved, always saved. So I guess I can keep doing this. Lay it aside. You did not learn Christ that way, Paul said a couple verses up. Lay it aside. You weren't created for that. That's not what your life is for. Lay it aside. There's something more that Christ has for every believer than their old life. Put it away. Be renewed in your mind. Come to Christ. It's not too late. Lay it aside. I wonder what God would do with some of us if we were just willing to follow Him. Lay it aside. Live in the life that Christ gives you in the forgiven state. It all begins with, have you ever received Him as your Lord and Savior? Have you ever come to Jesus Christ between you and Him and called upon His name? You have to have something deeply instinctual in your heart. If you're going to actually pray to Jesus, first of all, you have to believe He's real and He's there. And He's going to hear your prayer when you cry out to Him. And then what do you believe? That He's also alive. Not only did He die on the cross for our sins, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, but He rose again from the dead. Oh, that choir song is powerful. That He rose again from the dead, paid for sin, your sin and mine, and also rose again from the dead, conquering in victory death itself, so that you and I could what? Continue to sin? No! Die to sin, die to self, live to Christ, and may Christ live in you. Yeah? So, because Jesus is the truth, how then shall we live? Three ways Paul talks about it. Lord Jesus, I pray that you bless us, that your Spirit has mercy on us. This message is for every single human in this room. Created in Christ Jesus, may those be who know you as their Lord and Savior. And if there's someone here who's not yet broken, cried out to Christ for salvation, they are still created in your image. May you recreate them in new life. Lord, I pray that we would all, as believers, live out our baptism, not as an empty ritual, but as a very new life, that we would put off the old skin, put off the old self, put off the old life which is on its way in corruption to judgment. No longer live for that, but that we would put on Christ every day, in Christ, live in Christ, seek Christ, follow Christ, have faith in Christ, obey Christ, submit to Christ, confess to Christ, glorify Christ in our lives. Please bless us, Almighty God. Your Spirit alone can do this thing we ask. May your Spirit move among your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.